This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Wong Xiaoning. On a Wednesday, the 22nd of December, 7:06 in the morning, we are going to be looking at the newspapers in about 15 minutes. But as always, we're going to start the morning with a look at how global markets ended trading yesterday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
So clearly markets are in a volatile mood because the Dow was actually up 1.6%, S&P 500 up 1.8%, Nasdaq was up 2.4%. Meanwhile, in Asia, every market was in the green except for our FBM KLCI, which was down 0.1%. Nikkei was up 2.1%, Hang Seng up 1%, Shanghai up 0.9%, and Singapore Straits Times up 0.4%.
So for analysis on where markets are heading, we speak to Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group in Sydney. Jack, good morning. Now, with only two trading days left this week in the US, how do you foresee trading activity on equity markets in terms of volatility? I mean, we started the week in the red, but yesterday, as we just said, was a pretty good day.
Yeah, good morning to everybody. And before I leave, I just want to wish you and your listeners a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays and a Happy New Year. And thank you for a great year being on the show. Where is Santa Claus? I guess he might have popped his head out last night, didn't he? We're all waiting in bated breath for Santa Claus to deliver that Santa Claus rally that we're used to. Look, I think it's going to probably be, it continues to be volatile, and we may see an opening in 2022 that continues to be volatile. And I think the underlying premise right now is we're concerned about consumer behavior. So with the onset of Omicron, you know, renewed lockdowns in Europe, opening and shutting, the market is really concerned about, well, what will the consumer do during Christmas and in 2022, and will that change consumer habits? And that's what the market is trying to factor in at this point in time. And the market doesn't like to see murkiness. It doesn't like to see smog. And it's concerned about, you know, the underpinning of the global economy is that a consumer goes out, goes to restaurants, goes to the cinemas, shops on Amazons, goes to shopping centers. And that's the biggest question facing us right now. What will the consumer look like with the onset of, you know, this new variant of the disease that we've been facing in the pandemic? My thought here process is we're going to see a little bit of shakiness. I'll explain it in a key issue here in Australia. So we're in the midst of reopening, but because of, you know, close contacts and having to isolate, you know, 1 in 5 restaurant bookings have been, you know, cancelled in the last 2 weeks. You know, people are, you know, wary of going on holidays because they're having to test or possibly isolate. That affects the psyche of the consumer. And of course, the consumer is what makes up the global economy. And stocks are made up of you know, companies that sell to the consumer. So that's the issue I think the market is trying to grapple with, along with, you know, a movement in liquidity or reduced liquidity by the Fed, and also the possibility of higher interest rates going forward. So I think we're going to see some volatile weeks coming forward, but none of these variants nor COVID has affected the global trajectory of the global economy. And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the Americans are going to lock down. Biden clearly said that last night. I think you'll start to see more reopening. We can start to see that this variant isn't as deadly as previous variants, and we will learn to live with it. So volatility in the short term, I think it's going to be a bumpy opening to 2022. But this year has been a great year for markets when we look at it in general, and I think it's going to be it going forward in 2022.
You know, Jack, this year, the theme has really been buy the dips, and it has worked, right? Because every time markets come down, it has somewhat recovered. Do you think that this that theme will continue in 2022, though?
Yes, I do. I do believe. I still believe, and well, look, fundamentally, we're in a reopening phase of the global economy, and we've readjusted, you know, for some valuation in some of these sectors in the market that's driving it. You know, I've got to look at what's happening across the globe. You know, we talk about Southeast Asia, you know, it's been an underperforming market for quite a long time. You know, eventually this beacon of global economic growth will eventually reopen. So I am still very bullish about the prospects of 2022. But as an investor, you may have to deal with some volatility in the opening months. But I think it's going to be a very strong year on the back of another strong year for markets. I mean, let's take the last 4 or 5 weeks out of it. The S&P's up double digits. The Dow's up double digits. The Nasdaq's up double digits. So it's been a great year for investors. I think we're going to continue to see that. But the problem is there's a lot of question marks around reopening and the consumer. But those answers will come, I believe, when we start looking at, you know, end of first quarter 2022.
And what about Asian equities then? You know, they're starting to pick up momentum. Which equity markets in this region are you particularly bullish on?
Look, I'm generally a bull around the Southeast Asian market. They have underperformed. I mean, if you look at, you know, the STI, if you look at your index there, Indonesia, Thailand, you know, these markets have certainly underperformed, you know, their cousins in the US and in Europe. And there's a number of reasons for that. You know, they haven't had as much access to the vaccine. It's, you know, health infrastructure hasn't been as protected as most developed economies. As we start to get less and less potent variants of COVID, as the market, you know, as the market pushes more vaccines towards these regions will start to reopen and they'll be a beacon of light. So I think Southeast Asia in general, I think will be an outperformer in the new year as they start to kind of catch up to what's happening in Europe and America. So quite bullish that sector. It's obviously underperformed, but normally you want to look to the worst performing sectors or the worst performing countries after a year of underperformance. And I think Asia is going to be one of those going forward. So broadly, I think that index is going to do really well.
But Jack, you know, Malaysia has constantly underperformed for the last few years. So I'm wondering whether do we buy the broad market, even if you like Southeast Asia, or do you buy specific sectors?
No, I'd be a broad buyer of Southeast Asia in particular. I think, you know, you still got a burgeoning fintech arm there. I really like, if you want to give me a name, you know, I really like Grab out of Southeast Asia. I think it's going to benefit from the reopening. But I think a broad-based ETF that will give you a combination of these Southeast Asian countries is your best and less riskiest investment going forward.
And can I get your thoughts, Jack, on the regulatory crackdown that we're seeing between the US and China? We see that now the SEC is requiring more risk disclosures from Chinese companies trading in the US. What are all these regulatory requirements trying to achieve? And is it really to deter Chinese corporations from doing business in the US? How does that impact your outlook for the sector?
Yeah, I mean, this sector is full of news at the moment, and it's news, you know, that we've heard before that certainly affects the market. This is nothing new. I mean, the SEC has been talking about regulatory risk or asking Chinese companies in particular to adhere to more regulation and how they report. Now, this is finally being passed, and now they have 3 years to comply. My answer to this is, both regulatory bodies have been in contact now for months around improving the reporting of Chinese companies, particularly ADRs that are listed in US markets. This is nothing new. And I will point that most, in fact, all Chinese listed ADRs in the US market are audited by one of the big four firms, PwC and the like. So their auditing is quite good. It's just, you know, what they release because of Chinese national concerns. What I will point to investors is that both regulatory bodies, including the Chinese regulatory body, has been in contact with the SEC over the last couple of months in adherence and wanting to work towards a framework. So these are little news bits that we get in the market, but it's actually nothing new. We've been hearing this in August. These countries need to do business together. They are the two largest economies in the world. China understands that it still needs foreign direct investment. So I don't believe this changes the long-term nature of the relationship. I still believe you're going to see Chinese companies listed in the US. This is just the pause of what's happening. I'll answer the bigger question I think that everybody is asking in terms of owning Chinese stocks in the US. Are you going to see a massive delisting of Chinese stocks? I believe this will not happen. Outside of the, you know, issue of possibly a Didi, I do not believe, well, the probability of Chinese companies delisting from US markets is very, very low, in my opinion. Something like Alibaba is very, very low. This is just the pause in relationships going forward. And asking Chinese companies to report better is just a good thing for the market. So not a major news event for me.
And Jack, I've got one more final question for you. And this is about Malaysia, actually, because we have seen stress in the glove sector. Prices have been very volatile and they're still at really quite 52-week lows. Do you think this is due to ESG issues other than the fact that, of course, average selling prices for gloves have come down?
ESG is probably one of the biggest things you hear in markets right now, and it's going to be a big thing going forward. I'll tell your listeners a little bit of a story. 3 weeks ago, I was at lunch with BlackRock, you know, one of the largest ETF providers in the world. And I said, you know, how's business? What are you guys doing? And said, everything is ESG focused. So what we're going to see going forward is, you know, every fund manager, and it's that going to start trickle down into retail investors, is they're going to put an ESG layer over any stock or ETF that they buy. And that's going to lead to an important part of their decision-making on whether they buy an asset class. So this will certainly affect any company that doesn't comply with ESG or doesn't look like they're complying with ESG. So to answer your question directly, I think what you've seen with Malaysian glove makers is, you know, I think there's a stack of inventories on the market. I think that's a key concern. And the fact that, you know, prices are coming down and then there's been ESG layer placed over them in the midst of, you know, inventories going up. So this is going to be an important layer of investment going forward, which will affect not only Malaysian stocks, but all stocks around the world. You know, this is in line now with PEs and fundamental balance sheets. You now start to give it an ESG rating, and this will be, you know, something that we will hear all through 2022 and well and beyond.
Jack, thanks as always for the chat, and happy holidays, Merry Christmas to you and your family. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group in Sydney, talking to us about the trends that he sees impacting markets, ending the conversation there with a note on ESG and how big a trend it will be in the years to come.
Yeah, so it's not only just environment you have to worry about, right? And another consideration for companies is, you know, your governance, how you treat your workers. Those things come into limelight nowadays, and we've seen that shining on our glove companies and also some of our tech companies. And it's not necessarily a bad thing.
It is not a bad thing at all.
Not at all.
If it leads to better working environment for our workers, then, you know, this has to happen.
And I think companies need to see it as a win-win situation, because if you meet the ESG criteria, you will attract the interest of large fund managers, global fund managers, who are now pursuing an ESG, you know, kind of investment mandate. So your only mantra should not always be just profit, profit, profit. And that's the only thing you need to consider, because that doesn't necessarily always translate to better share price performance.
That's right.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.